Okay, item six, presentation of the cash flow report. Vicki?
Good morning.
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 I'll be presenting the cash flow for the period of January through June of 2013 in comparison to the prior period, and it is item number six in your packet. As noted on the bottom of the key to this report, the first half of the report shows the inflows of funds coming into Sisera, so that's like the black font, and then the second half of the report are our disbursements, which shows the funds that are leaving Sisera. So you'll see that in the red color font. We did add a new column to the far right for a percentage change this time around, and hopefully that's helpful for you in looking at the report. I'll just go through some of the major items and then feel free to ask any questions.
Can I have a question right now, Vicki?
Yes.
On the top under receipts, so the next period that you report in January or February for this second half of 6 months, will you have a line there that identifies the employer's contribution, meaning like the lump sum coming in? So do you add a line, or does that just never appear? You know, we have employee contribution, we have the non-county.
Right.
And the county makes a big contribution in July or
right.
August.
And so those
so
are,
where does it go on this form?
It's collapsed on this time around because there isn't anything for the 6 month period, but you'll see that in the next half when I report July through December.
So the word is collapse when you drop a line?
Pardon?
You collapse it when you drop a line?
It's in Excel. You just
else.
Collapse the cell.
I mean, okay. it's Excel. So it's just the prepayments and the true-ups. That line item you'll actually see during the next 6 month period because we will have data there.
Okay.
So, you know, if I have a line item that doesn't have any information on it, I just collapse that line for the report, for just reporting purposes for this period.
Okay, so kind of like capital calls, market opportunity.
It could show on this report, but it would show zero balances.
I know,
across.
But
do you want that? Do you want it there? I guess.
I don't think
I
should do that. I think it should be down here that employer contribution is made once a year in July and will show on that. So that you're right. If somebody's looking at this, it doesn't look like the employer made any contributions.
Well, it just is confusing, and we actually, when they do the discount, you're actually punching in per month what mm-hmm. we would get. It just doesn't show at all.
Okay.
And so I'm just, what I was thinking is that the next report would show it, but it wouldn't be lining up. You know, you would be adding a line,
mm-hmm.
and I was kind of like thinking the line should have been there all the time.
But I'm concerned that there's a line that shows zero. I don't want employer contributions to show in a report is zero. So maybe on the first half, you
I
guys
put
figure
a note
it out.
On the bottom.
I kind of have a question about the first line employee contributions. I thought that we were losing a lot of employees because of Pepper and all of the stuff that's going on. But yet the contributions are higher than they were the year before. Are we losing employees just out of curiosity? Or
actually, we had a hell of an increase.
They may be losing employees, but the percentage rate that they're paying
it's going higher because of the assumption. Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
No,
the prevention went away on this report.
Yeah, nobody's retiring. They're waiting to see what happens.
But on that line alone, employee contribution,
uh-huh.
can you attribute it to employers? In other words, is this due to some employers are up and other employers are down for payroll? This is just a payroll thing. All right, so there could be, the employment could be up with any of the employers. It just wouldn't be people who are under retirement payroll.
Right.
So, but can you, does it break down like that? Can you see that maybe the county's gone up and everybody's gone down or vice versa?
I would have to research it further.
You understand what I'm at?
Yeah, I use the the county reports to get these numbers, and it usually doesn't spell it out specifically. I'd have to probably make a few phone calls downtown to get.
Why'd you want to see it, Richard?
Information.
I'd just like to know which employers are, you know, what it's changing here. You look at this drift down, and it, we're getting less money, okay, which would indicate a smaller payroll, but it may not be smaller for everybody. It could be more like, it could be a tremendously smaller than mitigated because we're paying more. In other words, the drop is even greater in number of employees. That
you,
type of thing.
You know what I might suggest, and maybe Kurt Siegel can put something together. As of 12/31 last year, they have all the information by employer with the payroll from 12/31/11 and 12/31/12, and we can see what's going up and down on that, just to get an idea of who, where everybody's payroll is.
Okay.
Is that the purpose of this report, no?
And that's how I was thinking. It might be a separate report.
No, yeah, that's a completely separate thing. This is just cash flow.
Yeah. I mean, the purpose of this report is just, you know, to show the inflows and outflows. And the one thing that I do want you to keep in mind is because of the employers that are on the prepayment program, you know, the monthly cash inflow would normally be about $15 million higher per month. So in the six-month period, you're looking at almost $90 million. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind. I mean, overall, if you look at the bottom net cash inflow, outflow, if you add $15 million to that each month, you know, we're looking fine at this point. But I'll certainly go through some of the line items if you'd like, or are you okay with me going through some of the line items? Okay. So the first couple, like we've mentioned, the employee contributions was relatively flat in comparison to the prior period. Same with purchases, conversions, non-employer, non-county employer. These are like East Contra Costa Fire and Rodeo, Hercules Fire Districts using the county payroll. The special district employer contributions was a slight increase of 10%. You have just fluctuations from month to month due to the timing of payments there. The PALSUM, final PALSUM, Contra Costa County and District's term liability, that PALSUM payment actually doesn't hit our books until you'll see that in the second cash flow report in July through December time period. So what you see here is basically the employers who left the SARA system to CalPERS. So January is a $143,000 payment, and that's from Diablo Water District. And in June, you'll see a $2 million payment there, and that was First Five's payment toward their principal of their UAAL. Now, there's a significant decrease of 66%, and that's because prior year was pretty high because of City of Pitts making almost a $6 million payment toward their unfunded liability with SACERA. Interest and dividends increased about 7% from the prior period. And then the next several line items are just our different investments, different type of investments, the distributions, and that's just based on what the investment managers do. We did see a large increase with alternatives. The majority of that was Pathway Capital was about $9.4 million, Adams Street $6.7 million. That hit there. Then, of course, we have the market opportunity, that's Oak Tree, and then our new category, the global real assets of $2.6 million there. Most of that is PENCO All Asset Fund of $1.5 million and distributions in Wellington Trust, about $1.1 million there. And then our real estate went up from almost $25 million to $68 million. You'll see that there was a large jump for the month of June. That was mostly related to Invesco. Their total distributions for the six-month period was about $56 million. And of that, $32 million is what hit in June, where you see that $34 million there. Then we had Frieg of 5.7, DLJ 3.4. And then we have Torchlight, which increased significantly to almost $8 million. And we're just seeing an increase of payments there from the prior year. The next couple line items, the liquidate assets, cash needs, and rebalancing. I mean, that's basically to cover our payroll for each month and just make sure that we have monies in there for the cap calls. And then our CIO does his rebalancing during this period in January through February. So you'll see movement, large movement during that period because of that. And like I mentioned earlier, please keep in mind that for the cash flows, we would normally be having about $15 million per month if we had no prepayments being done for the fiscal year 2012-13. For disbursements, we have retiree payroll went up slightly by 7.5%. Post-retirement deaths went up about 48% from the prior period. Refunds, active deaths, it's relatively flat. Same with our administration expense was up slightly by 4%. Investment-related salaries, travel education was relatively flat from the prior period. Professional fees went up about 11%, and we're going to go through that in detail on the second page. And then the next five line items are our cap calls, and you'll see, again, this is all generated by the investment managers themselves. We didn't have any, let's see, for alternatives, we had an increase of about 57%. Cap calls for market opportunity, we didn't have any for this time around. Global real assets, about $1.7 million, and that's from our common fund, CAP National Resource, our new fund there. And then for real estate, it was down 92% from the prior period. I know the prior period was higher than usual. It had been up about 130% from 2011, so that might be part of the reason for the significant decrease. And then we have our fixed Torchlight, which was about $18 million this period. Our cash allocation, again, that's just part of rebalancing that Tim does during this period. In January, you'll see almost $73 million there, and in February, the finishing of the rebalancing happens there. So overall, on our net cash flow, I think we're looking fine at this point with the additional cash coming from the prepayments.
Vicki, let me ask you a question. Because I'm new at this. This strikes me as a snapshot in time, and then it's got a comparison window on the right side, right? Mm-hmm. So this particular portrayal tells you a condition at a point in time, but it's not trying to analyze the why or the where or the or the what, correct? So some of the questions that happened earlier, it occurred to me that maybe, you know, a few small notes at the bottom, a footnote where it might be important to explain a number or the absence of a number might be helpful. I don't know that I would want a number of additional lines or any additional lines, but it just might help to explain that. The other observation or a question, I guess, is if the numbers, looking up on the receipt side, mm-hmm. if the numbers in real estate asset distribution or any of the other items were anomalous, if they were stand out for some reason, would Tim typically report on that in terms of why that was or why it wasn't?
Well, hopefully it wouldn't be a surprise because he would have during, again, I'm only up here twice a year on this,
right.
But I would think what I try to do is to give as much detailed information that I have. And so from our cap calls and distributions, I mean, hopefully it won't be a surprise when I mention, like for Invesco, you know, I would think that there was some kind of word or communication that was, you know, they were going to give this huge distribution.
But if I might...
But he does jump in on conversations.
No, and I understand that, but these are public documents, and mm-hmm. they may not have had the benefit of hearing along the way. So as much as we might be aware of it, it might be helpful, so when people are looking at it...
Yeah, I'm just trying to connect the dots,
yeah.
Sort of thing. I mean, I just... I can look at this and see it is for what it is and look at the various inflows and outflows. I may not understand them yet, but I can look at them and look at any trends that might come out. But the why behind it might be as interesting, particularly if there was a standout, right, that someone might not know. So I don't know. I just want to know where that gets joined. I guess that's with Tim, if there were an issue with a distribution or the timing of same or the amount of same, that's something that he would report on separately?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. And he does do a reports often on through the year, a whole, here we are, this is where we are on real estate, this is the outstanding amount to be called, this is what we're expecting back. Unfortunately, with that type of investment, we don't always know the timing. They give us usually 10 days notice to pull money, and they give us 10 days notice saying we're giving you money. So there's a lot of timing that goes on behind the scenes at some of these funds that we're not really aware of until the last minute.
Right.
That's helpful. Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. Two questions. Follow a little bit on Scott and Karen. Is it hard or easy to like to footnote things that are kind of, I don't want to use the term one time, but like you mentioned Invesco, that was a big chunk coming in. Mm-hmm. And I could really see a footnote rather than just, you know, your oral noting that you know, that's a particular, not a regular anticipated bump maybe, or greater than anticipated bump. And I just wanted to correct them because I am really would like the line there about the prepay. The prepay line would include just the county or all the employers that prepay?
All.
Okay, and you're thinking it was around 90 million?
No, more.
About 15 million a month.
A little more than that.
It was $15 million times six is how I came up with your other statement. So
the 90 is just for this 6-month period.
So it was closer to 180.
It's like about, I think I like 192. Mm-hmm. That
okay, ballpark. And that's all the ones who do?
Prepay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is what we can do, is anything that's an anomaly on here, we can footnote. If it's greater than a certain percentage, we'll try and bring more information back to the board on that.
Certainly, yeah.
Is it necessary, maybe, to do a cover letter to this report that summarizes what she's going to report orally? So that if you're concerned that the public is looking at this and they have questions, perhaps the summary letter covers that, those questions. I don't know. I don't know if that's overkill enough.
Kind of highlights them?
Yeah. And if we see in advance, too, then later when we hear it again in oral, we might get it faster.
Yeah, I'd hate to put more footnotes on this page and make the numbers smaller.
Well,
it's a bit of a test now.
But, you know, and I thought of that, too, but you can make the receipts on one side and the disbursements on another for those of us who need a little magnification.
Wait till you see the 12 months. It's really small.
You're going to put it on ledger paper, right?
Traditionally, I think it has been.
Just remember how it was in the old days, folks.
Is that one-page cover letter a good idea in your opinion?
I'll certainly do whatever, you know, if the board.
We'll work on something to bring back to the board at the next 6-month period.
Okay. The second page just details the professional fees line item on the first page. For investment management fees, it's relatively flat. It just went up 5%, and that's just based on market values and the committed capital amounts for alternatives. Consultant fees, we'll look at that in a minute. It's broken down. It's about 103% increase from the prior year. And most of it is just due to timing issues. Same with State Street custodian fees. You'll see it was $425 this current period versus $169. The current year is typical. It's usually around about $380, $389, $390. The prior period reflects one less payment, so that's why you're seeing that increase. And then we have the attorney fee salary non-investment of $293 versus $211, so it's about a 40% increase. I think the current year is typical. The prior year we had 1 month where we didn't actually have any attorney fee charges, so I think it was lower than usual. For consultant fees, you'll see that on the second half of the report. We've broken down three consultants, Milliman. It's just a timing issue. For the prior period, why we don't have anything reported is we actually paid the first quarter in December of the year earlier, and then the second quarter we paid it in the third quarter of 2012. For 2013, that $171,000 represents the first quarter and second quarter of charges. They typically charge about $78,000 a quarter. And then we had some due diligence work for three trips for Jeff and Bob that's incorporated in there as well. For Siegel, we see an increase of about forty percent, $189,000 versus $135,000. Most of that can be attributed to just all the PEPRA work that has been generated this past year.
Vicki, I think we also had the experience study this year, and that's only every 3 years.
Yeah, so. I have the detail to any of these numbers if you'd like to know more about it. For Siegel, the $88,000, $35,000 of it was just plan consulting. We had PEPRA discussions of like $16,000, the new tier study, that was about $15,000. And then we had our VAL report. That was about the 2012 VAL report. That's about $46,000 there. And in May, $59,000 of it was for benefit statements. And $37,000 was for just plan consulting. So I do have the breakdown for that if you'd like. And then our last consultant chart fee is the ISS, the Institutional Shareholder Services. It went slightly down by 22%.
That's our proxy?
Yes.
Expert?
And it went down because we chose to use a standard public plan policy rather than a specialized proxy voting policy with ISS. So their costs went down for us.
Vicki, on the attorney fee salary up at the top, is these are charged directly to the fund, these costs. So what is the non-investment? Is that Karen or Harvey? What is the non-investment? Because it kind of implies to me that there might be an attorney fees that's investment related fee. So
there are.
Absolutely.
Well, where do they show up?
They would show up in the investment management fees, is that correct?
Yeah, let's see. They would show up. Investment-related travel, education, attorney salaries. There's a line
on
item
page
there.
One.
On the first page.
Where does on the question just asked? Recently met with Tim, and it turns out. I guess I would have assumed this, that there's a lot of due diligence that goes on with a lot of our investments, in fact, all of our investments. So I'm assuming that those are investment attorney
fees.
Those
are investment legal expenses, attorney fees. Every contract that we execute goes through Reed Smith for investments. And we do have, it's not just a standard contract. We have side letters that we put together for each investment with our own terms. So every investment that goes through has legal fees related to it.
Right. Okay. So.
But was the question also on any other due diligence expenses?
No, I was
just
commenting on Richard's question about the investment legal fees, and it turns out, I guess we would have expected this, that in all of our, you know, all of our investment dig-ins, we have legal counsel who's reviewing all of those transactions, those contracts, assisting in that. So those are investment legal fees.
All right, but I'm still confused because I do see that. And how do I get a handle on what our total attorney fees are? Because if there's investments on one page and non-investments on the other, but what's the whole picture here of what goes on? I totally agree. We could be sued. There could be questions asked. About different things, that's a legitimate charge to one of these sectors. So I'm just trying to break it down. When I see non-investment, I'm thinking, Karen, you're carrying that ball. That's what I'm thinking. But I'm thinking Harvey Mike, too. But then I also think you could carry the ball if it was investment-related. And Harvey, too, there. It just... Do I add both lines together kind of thing? Is that what I'm looking at my cost?
No, we would need to give you a separate schedule.
Yeah, I have a separate spreadsheet that has everything on there, and then I just pull the pieces and put it in the right line item here.
You wouldn't put an attorney fee under investment management fees, would you?
That's what they're saying.
No.
That's what I heard they were saying.
It's not on that page at all.
No, but I just wonder where the dollar, where those dollars go. And I thought I heard that it may be under, some of it, may be under investment management fees. I thought of that.
Related travel.
Related travel.
It's on the previous page.
First page.
The disbursements.
Related travel, education, attorney salaries.
Attorney investment related. So the second page is just breaking out this line. The other attorney fees, investment related, are on that one.
All right, so this.
I think there's something missing, though, is what Richard is saying from the second page. We don't have a breakdown of the investment-related legal expenses on the second page. Is that correct?
Right. It's just a line item here, and then we just break out the professional fees.
Maybe you could put another line in and just put a separate line for legal fees associated with investment management, and then it would be a sub-number, and then you can add it up, just so it's broken out.
Yeah, just one foot to the
so
same number.
We can break that down.
Actually, I'm probably going to overthink this. Am I correct that, Karen, your time, any salaries are not something that we would include in this report, or maybe that's a question to Vicki?
No, it's in this. Her salary's in here.
So sure. It's included. So with respect to attorney's fees, salary, non-investment, I'm assuming, at least for me, that a 38.8% increase was, I mean, we're sitting in the middle of pending litigation. We've got active court appearances briefing. I would expect that. Is your time included in that too, Karen, or is that just outside counsel?
The salary is included. Mm-hmm. My salary is included.
So is it
outside counsel and in-house counsel?
So do you give Vicki like a factor of how you divide your time? Do you say 40% to this, 60% to that, or is it all?
No, and in fact, when I work on investment-related legal projects, I don't divide up my time. So my salary is my salary.
So 100% of it's reported?
That's my question.
Is in this category. Non-investment. Right. 100% of my salary is in this line item.
But I can tell you that the 38.8% increase over last year is not due to an increase in Karen's salary.
No. It's due to, and it also includes when we pay county council, doesn't it? Or is that
we pay county council very rarely. We usually do not use county council for any assistance
disability,
here.
The disability.
But I was just thinking the disability.
No, that's handled somewhere else.
That's a contract I found out.
Right. No, I know. I just, that was the only, because I know you didn't get a 38% raise. I would never have thought that.
I just thought I'd put it on the record.
You're okay with that, right? If I may, it just doesn't seem to be really clear, the whole sector of what funds are expended for legal advice, determinations, or opinions, or anything. And not that there's anything wrong with the total figure, but it would be nice if we saw what sectors were really spending, you know, where the money's going. And
how much we're spending for investment, how much we're spending
for
non-investment.
Yeah, like subcategories.
Well, we have a tax council, too, that I'm afraid to ask where their fee is here.
Well, why don't we do a separate report on that?
But you know what I mean? And all the time we have attorneys doing different things. So
I have a spreadsheet that I think I can probably format for all of you, and it will have the breakdown that I think you're after.
And, you know, I don't. If it's easier for you to do it month by month, that's fine, but it could just be
I have it by month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever's easiest for you.
Yeah.
Will it be incorporated in this report, or will it be a separate?
I could probably. I'll see. I mean, I can maybe just put it on the lower half of this, and you know, if it doesn't really fit or it's too small, I'll throw it on a separate.
We'll work on it and see what we can bring back.
And then we can tweak it to, you know, maybe it's too much information, maybe it's still not enough. I can certainly work with you to make sure you have what you need.
Is that everything? Any other questions?
Any other questions?
I'll move we accept the report.
Okay. All those in favor of accepting the report, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, Vicki.
Yeah, thank you.
Board
before we go into closed session for item 7,